Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Wald. My guest today is Gina Gallo from the Gallo Winery in California, an icon in wine. And your family name, everybody knows your family's name throughout the world. You can go anywhere in the world, everybody's heard of Gallo. What is the secret of your success, your family's success?
Oh, Monty, well, thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Quickly, I would say our heritage, the founders, my grandfather Giulio, my great uncle Ernest.
So where are they from?
Their parents were from Piemonte, so not far from here. So we definitely have that Italian blood in us, and we still feel it.
So when did they arrive in the States then?
They came in the 1800s. So they were born in 1910, mm-hmm. 1910, 1912, but their parents came in the mid to late 1800s,
okay.
Yes, to the States. So, but they're the reason, they're the foundation they began, which was interesting. A lot of the Italian immigrants, you know, were farmers, but not necessarily sales or marketing or businessmen, so really great farmers.
So you've seen grape growers?
Yes. So my grandfather Giulio, he had that side. He loved the dirt. He loved his organic garden. He learned a lot through his organic garden. But his brother Ernest, my great uncle Ernest, he loved to travel. He loved to talk, and he loved to find out what were people drinking, what were they doing all over America. And he came to find out in 1933 when they started their family winery, no one was really enjoying that much wine except for the immigrants. So they had a big task introducing wine to the American public. And so I think that their strengths were very different, but they respected each other. They worked hard. They would debate, I'm sure, like crazy. I know they did.
But they would complement each other, didn't they? I mean, one in the vineyard, effectively, in terms of grape supply, and one going out and selling the finished wine, yeah? Is that right?
Absolutely. So a very strong team. Very strong team. And I think that's the secret to our family winery, is that even today, is that respect. Because now we have the second generation, which is still extremely involved, third generation as well, which is myself, and our cousins and siblings. And it's seeing how they worked hard together, similar visions, but everyone talented in their own area and respecting those areas.
And you're still family owned, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean, it's incredible that you're the current generation is how many generations?
Three.
Right, so it's very unusual, isn't it, to have it sort of survive?
Yes.
With all the sort of the family bits involved. So how often do you get to Italy?
I haven't been to Italy, the big wine event, since 2000. So it's been a while, but I was in Italy 5 years ago. So
obviously your base is in California, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, do you sell wine to Italy, or are you mainly focused on the States?
We do sell a little bit of wine in Italy, but more importantly, we work with some lovely Italian producers in Italy, and we import to America, because Americans love Italian wines.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So that's been working extremely well.
Do you work with any, obviously you've got your own vineyards, do you work with any Italian varietals in your vineyards?
We do. I do. The first wine I ever made was a Barbera.
Really?
Yes.
That's great. It's so food friendly,
isn't
it? In 1990.
Oh, it's a lovely wine. Love it. And Barbera is a wonderful wine, especially a grape, because it's high acidity, as you know. And where we grew up down in the valley, where it's more warm versus, say, Napa and Sonoma, where we are now with our premium wines, in the valley, very warm climate, and that Barbera holds its acidity. So it's a great wine for down in the valley.
So when you say in the valley, you mean the Central Valley.
California Central Valley,
which
yes.
is pretty arid, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's one of the secrets to your success been, probably two, is matching the right variety to the right conditions.
Yes.
And then obviously selling.
And then,
that's the bit that often people forget, isn't it? In the wine growing, there's romance and all, but also it's a business. It's tough out there.
There's a lot of great wines out there. There's a lot of, you know, the positive there is there's a lot of people more and more enjoying wines and more enjoying the upper tier wines. So I think a great thing is, go back about 30 years, well, even earlier than that, Sonoma. My grandfather really believed someday some of the top end wines would be coming from Sonoma for us in California. Sonoma and Napa, and here today, they're still amazing areas. So I think progressively as a family being able to invest long term in those areas, so now today with people enjoying these top end wines, we're ready, we have them, we have the different vineyards to really create some of the top wines that can compete against the world. So
I used to work for a guy called Walter Shug in Sonoma.
Oh my gosh.
And Walter worked with your grandparents,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yep, he did.
Grape supply.
Exactly.
He told me some fantastic stories.
Oh, I love it.
About I mean, it's tough.
You're too young.
No, I'm 50. I was in my mid-20s then.
Okay.
Learning. And he was a great guy to learn from. But when he talked about your family, I mean, it's you've got to, the romance of wine is one thing, but you've got to be sharp in terms of business, and you've got to nail down your grape suppliers to say, listen, this is the quality I want, this mm-hmm. is what we're going to pay, and this is how I want it delivered. Yeah,
you're exactly right. Yeah. He was very instrumental in the wine world too. No, it is. It's a business. I mean, even though it's agriculture and farming, but it is a business.
So how hard is that shift, or how easy is that shift that you're making from, say, the valley wines that are sort of maybe everyday wines to the more premium, super premium regions, as you mentioned, Sonoma, Napa, even possibly into Mendocino. How easy is that for you, given that there's pressure on land and vineyard prices are pretty high? How easy is it to tie people down either to buy land or to sign contracts with grape growers?
Well, fortunately, we started in the 70s purchasing land, so that helped tremendously, because not everyone was thinking that was going to be the place for some of the top-end wines. So that you bring up a great point, though. So I think because of that, we have some wonderful vineyards there exist from going far back. And now we still work with a lot of growers, though, that really help some of the different wines that we're creating at the, say, roughly $15 up to, you know, $100 bottle of wine. But land is precious. There's only so much land. And
there's only so much water as well.
And there's only so much water. We have some really cool things happening on the on that environmental side, though, as far as water, because we've worked with IBM, which was really interesting, and now we've created this technology that we're going to be able to save 45% of water on each of our properties, and that'll go out to other vineyards, which will be tremendous. Because
so
water,
how does that work,
then? It monitors the moisture in the soil, and then also the environment around, as far as the moisture outside the soil, the clouds, the moving, you know, weather patterns, things like that. And it's tremendous, and technology will transform into mechanically giving the water exactly the vine it needs at the right amount of time.
So basically what you're saying is that the soil may seem, quotes, dry, but because the atmosphere is humid, the vine is okay.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
So we're not just so quick as farmers to go turn on that water valve, because A, we don't have it, and B, it's not good for the... We're seeing a huge improvement in the quality of the wine because it's more concentrated.
How stable is the super premium end in again, a very competitive market?
Yes, we've went through at least roughly three years of a great ride, a lot of growth happening in the premium end. This next couple of years, it's going to be a little bit more steady, a little bit more flat.
Why?
Because I think we've had such a great growth so fast that the market may be just a touch saturated, to say. But the positive is the big growth is $15 and above. So that entry-level wine lower, it's, you know, it's not really growing. They're reinventing themselves and reinventing, you know, whether it be labels or different flavors or different blends, blended wines. But the upper tier really has tremendous growth still potential to happen.
But is that a question of people maybe drinking a little bit less often but investing in a better bottle of wine when they do drink? Or what is the demographic behind that?
I think a little bit of both, but I also think you have this new generation that's coming out and they're not starting out with a $5 bottle of wine or $3.99 like us when we started. I mean, they're jumping right into the $15 bottle.
Right.
And then some, when they get excited about it, they're moving into a $30 bottle. So it's, and you see in universities now in America, and they're teaching people about wine. So I think more people are coming out understanding wine better than, say, maybe our generation was.
And less fear factor.
Yeah, less fear factor. And in general, that's a great point, because much more confident, and they just... You know, I do what I want to do. I want to work the hours I want to work. I want to do, you know, it's very much that that confident mentality, which is great. And I think that tremendously helps in their selection of buying wine. I think now also with technology, there's so many ways to get great information on wine, right?
Yeah,
on your
sure.
iPhone, you can just look at it and see what it was rated or, you know, what was said about it. So I think that helps. Also in business. You sit down at a table and you enjoy wine and you discuss business. So I think that with the people coming out of the universities, that's why they're learning more about wine, is because they know a lot could happen over a table breaking bread.
Right. So now for your competitors, we're in Italy today. So if I hired you as a consultant to the Italian wine growers to crack the US market, whether it's the West Coast or the East Coast, what would a couple of tips be for them?
As far as creating some of the wines?
Yeah, or you know, either styling them or labeling, presenting them, the media side, the social media side. What do they need to do to really...
Well, the social media side's interesting, I would say, because when you look at Italy, it is extremely... You have a lot of different regions. You have a lot of, you know, and there's that famous saying, you put three winemakers in a room, forget about it. You put three Italian winemakers in a room, really forget about it, right? So I think the power more is coming together as a group, as Italy, or even as these different regions, but some of them are small, so it doesn't really work. But I really think it's coming together as a group, and it's Italian, it's the Italian culture, it's Italian wine, and promoting it that way, and having one voice, but all really coming together to promote it. I think, hands down, that will help tremendously, because they already have a platform. Unlike the French, I mean, the Italians, America loves Italy.
Yeah, because there's so many Italian immigrants, sitting
there are,
with one
exactly.
of my studio right now. So,
yeah, and I feel like I have the Italian in my blood, even though I do, but I wasn't born or raised here by any means. But when I come here, I feel it. I feel myself here. I feel like I have been here before.
So when I go on a press trip, it's a Monty, where are you going to? I'm going to go to France. I'm going to go to Germany. Okay. When I say I'm going to go to Italy, can I come?
Yeah, people love it. So they have a great platform. And Italian wines, that's why we're investing in it, and we're promoting Italian wines in America, because we know there's definitely a great market. But I think it's all coming together, all of us having one voice and promoting Italy as a whole.
What about, you mentioned sort of younger generation that are more informed. Are they moving to slightly drier styles of white wine? You know, sometimes you can have wines with a few grams of residual sugar in there. Is that change happening or not quite yet?
It's definitely happening.
And you're reacting to that? You're styling your wines a little bit different?
Yeah, really working on texture instead of just quickly giving it a little bit of the sugar, the sweetness.
Yeah.
Because the key also, and my grandfather really believed this as well, is you want to go back and have another sip. If you have something that has too much of the residual sugar, it gets cloying. It's like,
yeah,
that's
one glass
why
is
people
enough.
Aren't drinking
yeah.
wine. You want it to be fresh and beautiful and light, and yeah, you want it to have personality as well, and you want it to have style. But sometimes you just really want to enjoy, and not too high in the alcohol, which I think the Italians do extremely well. You know, still there's some beautiful wines out there that are not overblown on the alcohol. Unlike us Americans on the California side, you know, we've really pushed that alcohol up probably way too much.
Yeah.
Stylistically, the wines I create, I'm more in the European fashion. I definitely tend to be under 13. Or 13.
Grams,
I don't like to push it too
yeah.
much. Yeah,
alcohol.
Yeah. I don't like to push it too high.
What about China?
Well,
is that
China,
an important market for you?
China is an important market, I would say, for everybody, because how many billions and billions of people? And they really are into it. I think what you see right now, the Australians have had great growth. They've kind of had that voice where they had the Chinese New Year in Sydney, and I think that helped. But especially the Chinese market, who do they love? They love the Italians. You know, but I think it's they love the fashion, they love the food. But then maybe do they even know a lot of these Italians are making some outstanding, incredible wines? Maybe not. So how do they link that together? It's like, and you know what I think is great is in America, and I'm probably here too, it's about lifestyle, you know, wine. It's about individuals, consumers, and our consumers that are enjoying wine. They want to be transformed. They want the wine to transform them. So it's our, you know, opportunity and our responsibility as producers and people that are selling and marketing wine to give that transformation to the individual that's enjoying the wine. Make it an experience. You know, not just how we grew up where it's at the table, it's with, you know, and in my generation, a lot of my friends' parents didn't even drink wine. But for me, every day, there was wine at the table. It was almost, you know, the food was the most important, but the wine was always there as a added value and to share.
You obviously work incredibly long days every single day, and I'm going to put you on a desert island where you have the same workload, and you can come home, and you can only choose one bottle of wine for that desert island. One style, what would it be?
My gosh, one.
This is going to be an easy interview, you know. I mean, you know, this is when we're really hitting the rocky patch. We've been getting on so well.
I knew you were going to beat me up, Monty. I knew it.
You don't have to answer if you get stuck.
I love bubbles, I have to say.
Right.
And I think every country is making some great ones. France with Cremants, here with the Proseccos in the cooler regions. Champagne, forget about it, some of the great champagnes, but you know it's always hit and miss. You have to really understand and know, and you don't just have to pay for the big five big guys. You know, you can find these small producers that are fabulous. Now for us in California, you know, we have Jay Wine. It's wonderful, sparkling, doing a great job there. So bubbles is always fancies my tongue. I love bubbles, but then when you say the only wine, I would
no. Just I mean, it's just a style. That's
red,
fine.
So,
yeah. So you basically bubbles. As a style of fizz is your thing, is
oh,
it?
Oh yeah, I love.
And you make fizz as a company, right?
Yes.
And the main markets for your fizz in the U.S. is it like an East Coast thing or a West Coast thing or the main markets you're sparkling wine?
You know, it's all over, really. No, it's a good question. Honestly, I'd say which was the bigger area. Well, in La Marca, which is a Prosecco, that's on fire. That's really doing extremely well. So that's an Italian one, and that's by far our biggest, one of our biggest sellers. And Jay, you know, just catching on.
Yeah. Listen, I know you've got a lot to do. We're very lucky to have you, multi-talented, running. You have the biggest, Gallo is the biggest privately owned wine company in the world, isn't it? Family owned.
Family owned, yeah.
Really kind of you to come and spend a little bit of time with us today. Fascinating talk to you. Next time we can talk, you know I'm a bit of a biodynamic, kind of organic kind of guy. And next time we can talk a bit more about sustainability and that kind of thing.
Oh, I love it, because I'm a big fan of that too. Yeah. Big fan. But you didn't make me cry, so thank you, Monty.
No, it was interesting. I mean, you know, California is, you often kind of think, oh, it's just California, but there's the subtleties and nuances of I've worked in Mendocino as well, of California. It's a massive area, as you well know, and you've got grape growers, you've got winemakers, you've got processors. Very, very complicated, but it works.
A bit of Italian influence.
In Mendocino, I was a lot of Italian influence. The old timers, you know, with their farming very, very traditionally. Wine was food, it was energy, keep them going, you know, which is a good place to start, I think.
And some great Chardonnays in Mendocino. Yeah. Some of the early days when I started making wine, I would never forget the Chardonnays there, and even then the Pinot Noirs too.
Yeah. You're doing a great job. Gina, thank you very much.
Thank you, Monty.
Real pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.